Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello.
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 Dude, there's an echo in the room now.
Hello.
I didn't want him to be the only one.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
You may. I changed my name.
Whoa.
I'm no longer evil.
Well,
Dr. Tran. I'm now LT Prime.
From the planet.
According to my YouTube video.
LT Prime. That's too much to say. I'm just going to call you Long.
Okay.
Long Prime.
But don't look
Long
me up Prime. Or I'll cut you.
Yes.
No. So how are things going with the new platform?
We have a new platform. Oh, Podcoin.
Yeah.
Podcoin.
Oh. Yeah, it's funny. Did you read my mind?
No.
Because I was going to talk about that. A couple weeks ago, at the end of the Braveheart episode, we mentioned that we were on Podcoin now. It's a new app that's out there for people that want to listen to podcasts and essentially get paid a virtual coin that you can use the money or the coinage and donate to charity, which is really cool, or save it up and buy gift cards like Amazon and Starbucks, a few gift cards on there.
Yeah.
And so Podcoin has been doing a promotion where if you claim your podcast on there, you get featured in their top podcast for 2 weeks. So we were featured there the Saturday that we last weekend, the Saturday we recorded the Prince of Mononoke episode, and our Braveheart episode played through the roof. I mean, it's almost 450 downloads. We reached their number one podcast for a few days, and we also our Braveheart episode made their top five. So did our Naked Gun episode, our Reservoir Dogs episode. We had an enormous amount of downloads for those episodes. It even did us well enough that we got featured in Podbean's Hottest Episodes,
or
Hottest Podcast,
nice.
Which is our host. And so anyone that listened to us on Podcoin, we thank you a lot.
Yes.
It was a blast that we didn't expect. Honestly, it was the best 5 to 6 day period the podcast has ever had as far as downloads. And so Podcoin seems like a legit cool thing. If you listen to a lot of shows, download it on your phone, and I've heard people say it crashes a lot. I actually listened to a couple episodes of shows in there. I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't have a problem with
it. So, you know, it's a cool little app if you want to get paid and donate your money to charity or get you some Amazon gift cards. You do have to do a lot of listening. You get, like, basically a coin every 10 minutes you listen. So, you know, 1 hour gets you 6 coins. So, you know, our shows are usually an hour and a half. So
I listened to Brandon and Randy Randy
guys.
Savage, yeah. And they did Supergirl, and so I had to listen to their take on the horrible 80s movie and I learned some really cool stuff because, you know, it's kind of, you know, we kind of have the same kind of thing, but they're not afraid to do
the guilty
pleasure
stuff. They tend to trash the movies more than we do,
yeah. They're like, why are we doing this movie? And I'm like, I am glad that you are doing a bad movie. I want to listen to you guys talk about this horrible movie.
Brandon and Randy are great. Good friends, too. And
oh, look, Rebel Force Radio's on here.
And then
don't pay attention to Rebel Force Radio.
Yeah, so, you know, Podcoin, it's a cool new app for podcasts. I know a lot of people like their iTunes and their Stitcher, and we're on all those apps, too. But this is a new way to listen to podcasts, and we're very grateful to the makers of Podcoin because we had a huge week for us in the show. It jumped our downloads from like almost to we're over 8,000 total downloads since we started now, headed towards 10,000. And we hope that if you are listening to us on Podcoin and found us through there, we hope you stick with us because we've got a lot of really cool flicks coming up. I mean, we've really got – I mean, honestly, we're not bullshitting you. There's some epic fucking movies coming up
hell
over the next
yeah.
2 months as we get closer to comic clues and everything that we're going to be talking about. And really, we have a lot of stuff mapped out almost all the way through the summer. We don't know the exact weeks we're doing them, but we know what movies we're doing, and we've got a lot of really cool flicks and that are coming up in the next 3 to 4 months. So anybody that's listening to Podcoin, thank you, and hopefully you've enjoyed the Rebel Radio podcast so far. So Podcoin.
I just subscribed.
Boom.
All right.
Good job.
Yeah, it says we have like 50 subscribers on there, but not all 50 of them listen to the Princess Mononoke episode because that one hasn't played bad, but it's not 400. You know, it's
like,
and so it's cool. It's a cool thing.
What about Gone in 60 Seconds? How did that one do?
It had a boost too.
Okay. At least they had a boost.
So, yeah. I think it's over 100. Almost anything we did in the last 4 to 5 weeks. Actually, going back to the episode where Long debuted on Mission Possible 2, it seems like that episode and up seemed to like really get a boost for some reason. But I think it's the way we were listed on the app. It listed up to the Mission Possible episode on their app. So I think that's why those got
the boost. Certain people would retweet more often.
Yeah.
Matt's a slacker on Twitter. I know. He is.
No.
Oops.
Come on with your bots. We need your bots.
Hey, he'll make a fucking prank call app, but he can't.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
take
I will.
The time to, and tweeting takes like 2 seconds. I had a weird tweet, like, on my personal Twitter account at iGatherSpeed. I was in a thrift store, Goodwill, the other day, and I picked up, I texted y'all copies of the original Star Wars films on VHS.
Yeah.
With the old school artwork. I had for a buck each, and I tweeted that out, and man, I've had like 45 likes and like 18 retweets. Nice. I can never get that many retweets from anything. You know, it's just like fucking Star Wars VHS, man. And all of a sudden, I get a lot of retweets. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
Could be my bots.
Is it your bots? Yeah. Your burner, what do they call burner accounts?
Burner accounts.
My Twitter bots.
Twitter bots. They just retweet for more followers.
DiscoZilla.
Yeah.
Yes.
Disco-Zilla. I think it's just DiscoZilla.
DiscoZilla.
Disco
Y.
Prime.
No, I'll just make your bots.
Yeah.
DiscoZilla 2010.
Optimus Evil.
Disco right. Hal. The evil computer. I don't know.
But that's good news.
Yeah. It's a good thing with PodCoins. How has y'all's week been? We had a good week at Rebel Radio here.
We did.
We should celebrate with all those downloads.
That's right. Where's your whiskey? Bring it out. Let's do shots.
In the kitchen. I'm just drinking water right now.
Yeah. We're going to do shots until Long coughs up a lung.
Y'all's week's okay?
So far, good. So good.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. I've been on vacation, so it's good because I haven't had to be at work.
Nice.
So my next vacation is early April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too
far. I may have taken advantage of me not having a boss currently and worked from the house like for the whole week, except for today because I had to drive out to Friendswood. I had to take pictures.
Oh,
and stuff.
You poor fucking thing!
Friendswood, man, Friends, far, dude. Boy. And then 610 West was closed down, so I had to take 610 East. The opposite way.
That's what you get
way.
For skipping out.
That's probably what you know. What goes around comes around. And I was like, oh, I worked 3 pallets with this new guy. It was a new territory, and. Yeah, the store is a mess. Unrealistic expectations, basically.
I would play the small violin for you. Yeah. Your life problems for mine right now.
Yes, yeah, it's true.
Like
this is
friend
true.
Of the show and ex-host Frank texted me the other day complaining that he had a flat tire. I'm like, really, dude? I'll trade you my problems for your flat tire.
Your company still has a bottleneck of just one person processing employee applications?
A couple people.
Is it 2 people now instead of 1?
Yeah, it's like 2.
Okay.
Still not that great.
Yeah.
You applied?
No, I haven't.
You gotta let me know if someone applied that you know. I'll get it in there.
Hmm. If you get the new position, wink, wink.
Wink,
we'll,
wink,
nudge,
nudge.
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'll consider it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Weekends off and a 6-to-4 schedule Monday through Friday with a possible raise. Don't have to kill my car and put all kinds of mileage on it and deal with BS kids. Not doing their jobs.
Yep. Well, this week for me, it's been pretty good. I'm just getting my YouTube channel started up.
Yes.
And you might notice that I re-uploaded a different video.
Yes.
And it says in association with.
And
Rebel
you shared
Radio.
Them in our YouTube group, our Facebook group.
Yeah.
For the Rebel Radio podcast.
Yes.
So. Yeah. So
you should have admin on the main page too, still to post things on there also, not just the group. You should. I don't think I took you off there.
I don't know which one.
Because there's the Rebel Radio podcast page, and there's just a group.
Yeah. Okay.
So you should have admin on
the
both.
Page is okay. Yeah. Okay. The page is the one that gets the people talking.
The group seems to have more talking, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right.
I'm just giving you the option. More the merrier.
Yeah. Gotcha. Thank you. I appreciate it.
But yeah, so you did your Transformers unboxing.
Yes, I did an unboxing for business. Online business called Transformer Land, whose guy's name is Matt. So Matt here got confused a little bit.
You're like, I want to thank Matt, and I'm like, whoa, I'm being thanked. And you're like, from Toyland, Toy Farm, or
Transformer Land.
Transformer Land.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, well, that makes sense that he would thank someone else other than me because I didn't do jack shit.
Yeah. Next, I promised my next video will be a little bit more upbeat. I filmed that thing till 3 a.m. So like, editing that thing.
I want to
so.
Thank Matt for giving me a headache all week.
No, it was just that one day.
Just one day.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
But it was good.
You shall not mention it.
Yes,
we I do not, not want to dwell it. On that. We talked about it before we hit record. Yeah. So
the cool thing is that.
So Matt earned his name Matt the Racist.
Yes.
No, I'm joking.
But because I race, just because I race people. Not
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, racer.
Racer. Like Racer X.
Right, okay.
No.
Anime. And anime.
I watch reference. Funimation long. You can't hold this against me.
No. So, anyways, getting my YouTube channel started up. And I have some big plans for it.
You've
as far
a lot
as
of
videos.
Subscribers. 87?
Yeah, yeah. But they were mostly they were mostly wrestling fans.
Okay.
Because I went to Orlando last year and I filmed a bunch of new wrestlers debuting for the Mae Young Classic tournament. And so a lot of people were digging the content a little bit. So 87 subscribers.
Nice.
Pretty good.
89 now.
We were averaging probably about a new subscriber a week for a while there when Arnold was making his comments on Arnold. But since Arnold has been slacking off, we haven't had any new subscribers. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well.
But 88's pretty good, man. Is it like 100 the magic number on YouTube? Because then you get
1,000.
Okay, well, 1,000's for ads, right? But don't you get something like at 100, I think I read?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you get more space.
Maybe they send
like
you
that.
A letter or something.
I don't know.
That's good job.
Sure. I also talked to the owner of Misfit Toys, and we'll do a walkthrough video. And also, you know, he's up for doing interviews, you know, for certain pop culture toys
that he has. It's funny because I a friend of mine knows him pretty well too. Another friend. That sounded wrong. Yeah. Sure, friend too. But another, and he said that he put a bug in his ears. What's the guy's name at Misfits?
Daniel.
That's who he talked to. That he might be interested in having a live podcast put on there like once a month. And he had mentioned that I should talk to him. But you know, we have the inn now. If you know him,
yeah,
might be something we could do one day. Do a live show from there.
Yeah, that's we were talking about it actually a few minutes ago. That's where I was. I was having dinner with him and his friends and family. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to explore.
Yeah, to grow the show.
Yeah. He says he'll post our links on his Facebook page. Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yeah. And his Facebook page is pretty busy considering, like, he brought in, like, a Soundwave Transformer G1.
Yeah, nice. I saw that the other
day. In terrible condition, but someone bought it for $80.
Yeah.
Like, in 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I have their I have them on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So
go to Longs. Where's your YouTube channel at?
Yeah, it's... Do a search for it. It's called Stuff and Beyond More Stuff.
Stuff and Beyond More Stuff.
I know. I'll probably change that eventually.
Stuff and Stuff.
Yeah. So it's called Stuff and Beyond More Stuff.
And it's safe for work, people. Don't worry.
Right. But thank you for the plug, Mark.
Sounds good. All right. Anything else to add to the intro of the show?
No, that's a long intro.
Except I saw a crazy person set themselves on fire on 45 this evening.
What?
Like some dealership. Some dude like doused himself in gasoline and set himself on fire at a car dealership.
Did he say like flame on or?
Rage Against the Machine, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Wait, but why did he do it though?
They didn't say they rushed
him
to the hospital.
Day with a
Remember
shotgun.
The cover of the first album where the dude's all on fire?
Yeah, that's right.
That's an actual Buddhist monk protesting.
Mm-hmm. It actually is a real picture, but yeah, that's what the Rage reference was. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know. Good stuff.
Interesting.
The world is fucking crazy. All right. Well, let's get into the show. We always started with Download This, and I know me and Long saw it. Matt, you haven't seen Captain Marvel yet, have you?
I got so much crap for wanting to go see it by myself.
But we'll talk about Captain Marvel in a minute. What else have you guys watched and consumed this week? You know,
I watched the 2012 Avengers. Not the Avengers with Sean Connery and Uma Thurman.
The old British show.
Yes.
Our guys at Thorskin probably likes that show.
They probably do.
They had Ralph Garman on their show this weekend. They haven't released it yet.
And it looks like they had some nice whiskey on the show.
You know, Ralph Garman is, of course, actor and impersonist, and he does Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith. And
yeah.
I don't really get the Ralph Garman love that everyone has for him. He seems really popular in Britain. But I appreciate it because he's with Kevin Smith, but... It's a good get for those guys. It's a big get for Thorskin to have on the show. So props to them. But anyway, go
on. Yeah, dude. But yeah, I just wanted to watch it again, and I remembered something just popped in my head. I was like, you know what was a really cool moment in the MCU? Whenever Iron Man played Shoot to Thrill on the PA speakers and came on and blew Loki across the pavement. But you know, and then that was the end of the fight. But it was a really cool moment. Just that moment right there. I thought it was really cool. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to rewatch it. And you're right. It's very simple. Very simple. You know, it's drawn out action here and there. It moves pretty well, but I enjoyed watching it again. I think it's solid. I don't think it's as good as whenever I first saw it. I think it's solid, and it gave us what we initially wanted. Just all these characters together.
Right.
So props to that.
I feel like I'm in the minority when I said that I enjoyed Age of Ultron more than the first movie.
Age of Ultron did have some things that were like it does start off like on like you're on your heels whenever the movie starts out. You know, it's just
it had
you're
more,
shot out of a cannon with the action kind of.
To me, it had better character moments.
Okay.
You know, not the action, but just interactions.
Given Hawkeye, you know, a little bit of a backstory.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just having them having to go like remote and come down to Earth, and then even whenever they're in Tony's penthouse, and they're having the moment with the hammer. That's probably the most iconic scene from Age of Ultron. If I lift it, I will enact
the Hulk,
Prima
Nocta. The Hulkbuster scene is one of my favorite.
Oh heck yeah, man!
Yeah.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
yeah. So, but is that it for download for you?
I wanted to say I watched something else. I just can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier. All I did was just focus on making videos for people to download and watch.
Right.
But yeah. Next on my agenda is basically uploading videos of me labeling the Transformers I got. It's an interesting genre.
There's a market for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just showing before they got labeled up and after they got labeled up by, you know. So, and then after that, I'll do some feature mini doc style reviews of all the collectibles I have.
Nice. I've been playing my mom. Bless her heart, and she wanted to do something for me, so she bought me Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh,
very cool. I've been playing that, man. It's gonna consume my life. It's that kind of a game. It's incredible, though. I'm not even scratched the surface in it, and I've done so much already. And that's the kind of this game is literally. If you see mountains off in the distance, you can go to those mountains. I mean, that's just.
Can you throw football?
I read somewhere that if you literally just walked across the game on foot, it could take you like 24 hours, like literally a day. They said that's how big the map is in the game.
Wow.
Unbelievably huge game.
Sounds like Texas.
It's a pretty game. It's like playing a movie. I mean, I've seen
graphics,
I thought The Last of Us was a really good looking game. This might be the best looking game I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an incredible gaming experience. And so I've been doing that the last
couple of days. Ultra realistic.
Yeah. And like, I know I probably watched something else this week, but I can't remember because I've been playing Red Dead and it's like consumed.
Did you know that the programmers went far enough to animate the size of the horse testicles in the weather?
Are you serious?
Yeah. If it's warm, then they're droopy, and if it's cold, then it's shrunk.
Now I'm going to be looking at the horse balls every time I play now. Like, going, looking close to my TV. Are they drooping?
Yeah.
Darn it, Long.
Yeah.
That's like whenever that episode of The Simpsons, whenever Homer is on the slopes with Flanders and he's wearing that spandex suit. Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Well,
nothing at all.
The movie we're talking today, there's something I saw in it now that I'm going to see every time. We'll talk about that whenever it comes up. But other than that, I know, Long, you saw Captain Marvel. I saw it today. You know, I mean, screw the naysayers. I was really entertained by it. I liked it a lot. There's a lot of little prequel things in it that tie into the Avengers, which are really cool.
Did you catch any of the Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Pulp Fiction jokes?
Yep.
I've been seeing the pictures.
There's a Stan Lee tribute at the beginning that just, I teared up. I'm not going to lie. That caught me off guard. And his cameo is great.
I missed the first 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
When I was, how would you grade it? Without spoiling.
I think a solid 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a B-.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the first half was a little clunky.
Yeah.
The second half of the film is great. The second half of the film is classic Marvel action sequences, Marvel cinematic going-on. So it was really well done. The first half of it's
Did you think Brie Larson was a little wooden?
You know, I kept looking for that because I'd read people saying that, but I didn't really notice it. I thought she was fine.
I saw a defense for that. Which I haven't seen the movie, but someone said she spent 80% of the movie as a weaponized energy
being. That's what I felt.
I felt like that's how she was
supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I thought in the human moments that she was fine. And then at the end, whenever it all, she came to complete powerness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I thought she was smiling and smirking and having fun destroying things. And I thought her personality came out.
Yeah.
The I tell you what, the de-aging technology they pulled off on this on Samuel Jackson makes me wish they could go back and fix Jeff Bridges like in Tron Legacy because it's so good. You know, it's like I could not tell that Samuel Jackson's 70 years old.
Coulson, not so well.
Yeah, the one scene on the stairs, it looked fake.
Yeah, Coulson.
But, yeah. But Samuel Jackson looked great in it.
But other than that, I give it a B minus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little moments I really loved in this, like the little girl when helping her with the costume. That was just really just charming and well done. Just the little prequel nods to the what happens later on the MCU, things like that. The post-credit scene, without spoiling anything, I would imagine this is very similar to the Ant-Man post-credit scene, where we basically saw a scene from Civil War. I'm pretty sure that scene's going to be in Endgame.
Yeah.
You know, so the cat, a lot's been made about the cat. And I kept reading that before I saw it. I was like, there's no way this cat can be that cool. Turns out the cat's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that the cat from Men in Black? Is that the the Easter egg?
No. Yeah. It looks like a cat, but it's a Flerken.
Yeah.
A Flerken?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it much more than, like, if we're talking origin films, like, I liked it more than I liked Thor or Iron Man as far – or not Iron Man.
Thor, Ant-Man. Ant-Man.
Thor, Ant-Man as far as origin films. Mm. You know, some of those
– I thought Captain America was kind of humdrum to me, the first Avenger.
Yeah, see, I like that one more now than I did.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And but overall, I mean, I think Captain Marvel –
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn.
But there's some really cool stuff. There's, like, introducing the Skrulls into the Marvel Universe. You know,
Ben Mendelsohn was good.
Yeah, he's becoming such a good character actor. You know, kind of a late in life career development with him, you know, because he's a little bit older. In the last few years, he's got a lot of big roles, but he's really good. You know, he played Director Krennic, of course, and he was in Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. So he's good. The Skrulls is an interesting add-on because, you know, we keep wondering where they're going to go from here after Thanos. And introducing the Skrulls... Ooh. Can do so much for them because we know Fantastic Four has dealings with the Skrulls and other characters. So, so this could be really this is really a smart move I think for Marvel of where they can go from here. And the Skrulls aren't necessarily played. Spoiler alert: the Skrulls aren't played necessarily as really the bad evils here. So, but we all know down the road that they're pretty bad people.
Yeah.
But this also is 1995. Who knows where the Skrulls are now in the current MCU? Mm-hmm. So that's all I can say about that.
Yeah,
because you know, they're in a different place in 1995 than they might be now, and once you see the movie, you'll know why.
I liked it.
Yeah,
the movie was good.
Yeah,
it was well worth the price. How much has it made now? Like 500.
It had $160 million opening weekend domestically.
Yeah,
and it was something like 300 something worldwide. So I'm sure it's at 500 now.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at the numbers this weekend yet, but yeah, so it's doing well, and doing very well until Endgame comes out in a few weeks. Which later on in the show, we'll talk about that.
Yes.
We got a new trailer from it. So, big thing. So, let's talk today's featured movie. I was going to do the Jaws thing. We're talking a movie that needs no introduction. You know, Steven Spielberg's classic summer blockbuster Jaws.
Watch it before you go into the water.
You know, we do movies on the show, obviously, since we rebooted the show a year ago. And, there's movies and then there's movies. And Jaws is a movie, if that makes sense. You know, it's from every sense of the word.
It's a blockbuster.
It's a blockbuster. It's got drama. It's got
literally
a little bit of comedy in it. It's got action. It's got suspense. It's got everything you go to the movies for in this two-hour picture. And it's brilliant. I don't know if it's Spielberg's best. And Spielberg is one of those guys that he has so much good, it's hard to say what his best is. It's subjective.
Yeah.
Some people like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Some people like Saving Private Ryan. It just depends on... I think with Spielberg, it kind of depends on the mood you're in, you know, what might be the best. But this is really, really good. And it's the movie that truly put him on the map. He was already an up-and-coming director, but Jaws is the movie that... It was his Star Wars at that time when it hit.
And this movie could have gone... way south. I mean, the way the budget just started jumping up and the money they were dumping on this thing.
Not only the fact that he wasn't the original pick director. The guy who was going to direct it died.
Yeah.
And he was going to make it more of a schlock picture. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Spielberg came in and said, no, you have to dramatize this and make it suspenseful and scary. And and that's what he did. I can't remember the first time I saw this movie. I know we always talk that on the show. Sometimes
it's
years
always
ago.
On.
Yeah, it's been... Yeah. It's just one of those movies that's there in your library in your brain have seen over the years.
Saw it when I was first grade.
Yeah.
I want to say even National Geographic has played this movie during Shark Week at one point.
Yeah.
I think they. Yeah.
Discovery Channel, you mean?
Discovery Channel. Yeah. Yeah, I want to say they play like all four Jaws movies.
And it's semi based on a true story, or at least a legend story of where a white shark had gotten into a lagoon up near.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cause they didn't change much of it, and it had killed some people in the early 1900s.
Yeah,
and
bull sharks.
Yeah, and so they went in, and that was one thing they changed. Like, well, bull sharks aren't scary enough for pictures for a film. Yeah. You have to make it a white shark.
Yep,
and that's what they did. They made it a great white shark for the movie.
Yeah,
and but really remarkably done film. But yeah, I remember seeing it just always on TV, always on. AMC still does marathons with all the Jaws films, even if the sequels aren't that good. But, you know, this movie is just classic. One of those that it's classic, great performances. You know,
yes.
What's funny is Richard Dreyfuss and Richard Shaw hated each other. They absolutely did not like each other on the screen, but they had a gentleman's agreement to
Robert
come,
Shaw. Yeah.
You know, Robert Shaw to work together because Robert Shaw is an alcoholic. He actually died not too long after making this film because of his alcohol problems. And Dreyfuss was always telling him, hey, you can't be drinking on the screen and everything. So there's the famous monologue scene on the boat where he tried to deliver it sober and he couldn't do it. And he calls Spielberg that night apologizing. I'm sorry. And he did it again the next day. And we have the take that's in the movie.
He wrote that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's cool is I think that scene works with the drinking because that would cause a man to drink. Look at that shark. Look at his eyes. Like doll's eyes.
Whoa, you look like you just turned into Robert Shaw.
He
just turned into Quint right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, Quint in some way steals the show on scenes he's in from Schneider and Dreyfuss' characters.
Yeah.
Because he's just got this demanding presence for him. And he was always like that in all the movies he did. Shaw had a very demanding on-screen presence. And he does it in this movie. And you really believe this guy can catch this fucking shark. I mean, you believe in Quint.
And I believe that he sings the Spanish maidens, too.
but everyone's good. Like, Schneider plays that really good just cop that, like, wants to protect people but also is trying to believe in everything that's going on and also balance his family at the same time.
And people forget he came from New York to get away from being a big city cop and having
town.
To do a lot of police work, and he went to a small town, and there's even nods to it whenever he gets up in the morning and the wife's like, oh, they call it a yod, and he's like, oh, a yod, like an islander.
You're saying this is a spinoff from The French Connection?
From The French Connection.
Yeah.
But yeah, could be, but
because he's in it.
He is in it with Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
You don't think Schreiber can be as good
Schneider.
As Schneider.
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 Schneider. You don't think Schneider could be as good as he is, but he really knocks it out of the park with his performance.
He's my favorite character in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, he's steadfast and no nonsense, but
feel for him.
Aquaphobia.
When people doubt him, you'll feel bad for this guy.
Yeah. The mayor trying to walk all over him.
Or the lady whose son is killed and slaps him, and he could have easily thrown the mayor under the bus for it, but he took it like a man. He respected her loss. Yeah, he's really good in the movie, and everyone is really good. That's one thing about this. For a blockbuster film, this is really well acted. And I think that's something that Spielberg's always been good at. Even in his Jurassic Park films, he gets really good acting on his actors. I want to say he's an actor's director. People want to work with him.
Yeah.
You don't really watch a Spielberg film and see a bad performance from an actor. Most of the time, they're pretty good. You know, I imagine there's one in there we're not thinking of, but he's just one of those directors that brings out the best of these guys, and they want to make these films, and they believe in them no matter how fantastical they are.
I also like to add that this is one of those occasions where the movie's based on the actual best-selling novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions pretty much agree, that the movie is actually better than the book.
Yeah.
And I tried reading the book, and it is nothing. is like in the book, and just for those who are interested, the book has a substory that involves the mob, right?
Weird.
Hooper cheats on... sleeps with Brody's wife. The way Quint dies in the book, he dies just like the way Captain Ahab dies in Moby Dick.
Right.
He gets tangled up onto the shark and drowns, you know, while trying to spear the shark. Mm-hmm. So he dies just like Captain Ahab in the Jaws, the novel. So a lot of superfluous, you know, plots.
Well, and there was a scene in this movie where they were going to show Moby Dick on a screen.
Yeah.
And Quint's like watching the movie or something. And I guess Schneider's character comes in to talk to him. But they cut it because Gregory Peck wouldn't sign off on it because he didn't like his performance in Moby Dick.
Yeah.
They actually cut that from the film. That's so there funny. Was some of that. That is weird. And sometimes it happens. We covered Planet of the Apes you know, about a year ago, and the Planet of the Apes novel is very different than what the movie is.
Yeah.
You know, the novel is much more where the apes are more organized and all that, and much more like cities. So it's sometimes that happens. So, yeah, I can't imagine why the mob would be in Jaws.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Northeast.
Yeah.
Northeast.
You know. It's a Northeast connection. Who knows? There was a mob subplot, and it dragged the book. The book was this thick, you know, the original hardcover. So it was like, yeah.
Lots been said about the score of this movie. You know, John Williams, you know, this John Williams was not a household name when he made this movie. You know, when Spielberg hired him, he thought it was a joke. He goes, you're not serious, are you, John? This is the score for the movie? And John's like, yeah, it'll work. Trust me.
No, the character, the motif. The theme, the Jaws theme, just the shark theme, he thought was a joke.
Yeah.
But the rest of the score was very...
And then when Spielberg saw the film and the audience reacted to it, he realized, like, wow, this is John's right.
Just two
notes.
And
he went back and he actually apologized to him. He's like, hey, the audiences love it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's and John Williams has made, obviously, a lot of iconic scores since then. But this is right up there with his top two or three.
Yeah.
You know, some people believe it's his most iconic score.
I have to say that this is probably the only... John Williams score where John Williams has actually scored the music to be a character.
Mm-hmm.
So to make up for the lack of shark on the screen. So it was, so John Williams is as much as the actor, the music is the actor, the character, to make up for the shark not working.
What's funny is they made three animatronic sharks.
Yeah.
One from each side with the left side open and a right side open, then one which was like a full body. And they only used the full body one for the end scene where the shark gets up on the boat and everything. Everyone remembers that classic scene. They're trying to fight him off and everything. And then they used the side ones. So basically had a man swimming with it on the side so you couldn't see it and everything. And even they're only used a couple of times because the problems they had with these sharks were as soon as they got wet, they started having to repair them.
Yep.
So they could only use them very limited times in the film. And I think, though, that works a lot for the movie in its favor, too. Because they show everything. Where this movie gave you very much a sense of dread and a sense of suspense that you don't always get nowadays from movies and special effects.
To be fair to the guy who designed the Bruce the shark, he did test it in a in a pool and it did work, but he didn't account for currents and salt water.
Right.
Whoops! And he's the same guy who made the giant squid from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So. Which they're doing a remake, by the way, for that, which I'm actually looking forward to. That's the only Disney remake that I'm actually interested in.
Yeah, that could be. I like the original
monster movie.
Yeah.
But and then of course at the end, man, we have the famous scene where they're getting ready to take out this shark and everything, and the most famous line in the movie is "We're going to need a bigger boat." Was actually ad libbed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't in the script. They ad libbed it and they liked it. And it's funny how that became the. It's one of those quotable movie lines.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, people still say it to this day. And the ending of this film is quite for I'm trying to think of the year this came out. 76?
75.
75? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite spectacular for that time with special effects wise and everything. Now they Jays like we just had the Meg come out, they would CGI the shark and all that.
Yeah.
But this is really, really good animatronic work. And watching it the other day, and I had just watched this not that long ago, but I went ahead and watched it again the other day. It actually holds up pretty well. I think it's really well done, you know, for the time that it came out because you know, it's good work. I mean, it looks really believable.
Matt, in your opinion,
yes,
does the shark hold up to you?
I think it does.
Yeah. To me, honestly, I mean, when I was a kid, I thought it was scary looking.
Yeah.
But
hell yeah.
The older I get, the more I'm like, wow, I can't.
It is less scary.
Yeah.
It's less scary, but I think it still holds up as something that looks, you know, semi-realistic because they built it. You know, it was made versus bad CGI. CGI didn't exist.
And what I like about it is I think it holds up well too because it is practical and you know it's real. Like sometimes you go watch something from the 90s with CGI, and it doesn't hold up as well because you notice the matte lines in the CGI. Mm-hmm. Like, there's scenes in Spielberg's Jurassic Park that look really good. Then there's a couple of scenes that are like, it's kind of like, when they're standing literally in front of the dinosaurs, you can tell it's CGI behind them.
Yeah, so the dinosaurs need more bit mapping.
Right. So at least with Jaws and the shark, you know the shark. The shark is real. At least you know it's on screen with the actors, and I think that's what makes it hold up well, considering the time that this film came out.
Yeah, let's not forget the jump scare in the middle of the movie when Hooper, you know, comes across with Chief Brody in the middle of the night of the boat that was abandoned by Ben Gardner, supposedly abandoned, and you know Hooper dove under and found the shark tooth and.
Yeah.
Ben Gardner's head just pops out into the hole. That's
and you know this movie is pretty close to perfect when we talk about perfect movies. I mean, there's nothing that not like it. But there's something I noticed when watching it the other day in the beach scenes when the sheriff is running across the water and stuff. A lot of the extras are turning their heads and looking at the cameras.
Oh, really?
I noticed it. They're probably looking at the crew, at Spielberg and the directors and everything. I never noticed it before, but there's a lot of head turning in this movie. And I'm sure they told the extras not to do it, but I noticed it the other day. And now every time I watch, I'm going to see it.
Oh, really?
And it's like, and they're looking right at the camera. That's why it's noticeable. It's like, it's not like they're casually looking at why the sheriff's running. It's like there's extras looking at the camera. Now I'm like, every time I watch Jaws now, I'm going to see this. You know, and I know that happened back then. The budgets, like you said, the budget for this film was pretty restrained for the time. Spielberg had to do what he worked, so he probably couldn't.
He went over budget.
Yeah. So he probably couldn't retake the stuff. Like we did Braveheart a couple weeks ago, and Mel Gibson had to reshoot some stuff because of sunglasses and wrist rots. You know, but I guess he had the money to do it. Maybe Spielberg couldn't reshoot the stuff and tell the extras, don't look at me, please.
Yeah. Yeah, and since then, Spielberg has not done the movie on the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
he was traumatized by that experience.
You could tell that it was a rookie move by him. I mean, how are you going to film out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's even Dreyfus was like, man, that seems like a good movie to watch, but not to make because, you know, that'd be really tough to film.
Every time they shoot a scene, a boat comes by in the background, ruining the shot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, or the water's too rough, or the weather's not, you know, letting up. You know, it's just.
Lots to deal with.
A lot of delays, yeah. And equipment getting stolen.
Yeah.
So.
Your equipment got stolen?
Yeah, equipment getting stolen. So, yeah.
That's funny. And then I lost my train of thought. That's where we're like taking clothes off.
Yep. We're getting hot and talking about the shark.
Now they have this. Now they do special screens of Jaws now all the time, like on waterfronts. That's like a thing now. Go watch Jaws and sit in the water.
Hell no.
I don't know. I might be a little freaky. It'd be like watching an alien movie up on a mountaintop. You know, it's like,
it'd be like watching Cliffhanger on the mountaintop. No, maybe not.
No.
Wall hanging from the cliff.
Close Encounters on the mountaintop when they're in the opening scene where they come to the house.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be freaked out. You know, but.
Or sit in a log cabin and watch Evil Dead or something.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Well.
Cabin in the woods.
Ooh. No, this house.
Are we going to do we should do a movie, a screening here. Evil Dead.
It's not scary with other people, though. It's like by yourself. Yes. I don't know if I could watch Jaws in the water.
I'd be kind of freaky. I wouldn't mind.
Maybe in the bathtub.
or a pool. A pool where there's no animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. But overall, though, I think Jaws is still
remarkable. This is in my top five all-time favorites.
All-time movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to at least be in the top 10.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd have it in my top 10 just because I lean towards different genres than this, but this is definitely a top movie. I'm not going to ever doubt that.
If I had 10 movies
to take a desert island, I don't know if Jaws would be on it with me. But you know, I still like the movie a lot. But yeah, it's really good. It's what else can you say about Jaws other than it's an all-time classic? You know, hopefully Hollywood does a remake this one day. You know, they made the Meg, which is kind of Jaws on steroids. Yeah.
You know, Universal owns the movie.
Yeah.
So, and they don't know how to make movies anymore. You know.
They used to.
Yeah, under the Amblin label, you know, but.
This was a really cool ride from what I hear at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Captain Jack Cooper's Amity something.
Amityville, yeah.
Amityville.
Not Amityville. Yeah.
Apparently Amity Island. Shark comes up on the boat and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And cool stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It really is.
Great movie to watch on in HD.
Yeah. I watched it on Netflix. I don't own it. It is on Netflix right now. So if you haven't watched Jaws in a while, check out Netflix. Netflix does air it in HD. So it does. And then, you know, that's one thing I like about high definition is all the new stuff that comes out. Like if you go buy a copy of, you know, Ready Player One or whatever comes out recently, you know, it's going to look good because it's new stuff. But man, Blu-ray is really made for older films, especially if the studio has taken that time to clean up the film and make it look better.
They did.
You know, like the Star Wars Blu-rays are really good. Most
Blade Runner
looks really good on Blu-ray.
Blade Runner looks so good.
You know, and anything I'd say 1990 and or maybe 95 and earlier is really made for Blu-ray and HD releases. You know, and that's a good thing about you can take a movie that came out in 1975 like Jaws, put out a Blu-ray at high definition, and it's sometimes like a whole new experience if you've never seen it like that before.
Yeah,
it's the closest you might get to see it in a theater, unless you go watch it.
That reminds me, during the anniversary of Jaws, about a few years ago, I did manage to watch it in XD theater in Cinemark.
Oh, did you?
And there was pretty cool. The family, they brought in a lot of families watching it, the anniversary screening, and watching it on the big screen like that was so awesome.
Yeah.
And there were some kids who were not prepared for a lot of the scary moments in there, and they screamed and laughed, and it was a really cool experience. Watching first-timers watch Jaws for the first time.
And it's a very clean film. It's rated PG. If it came out today, it probably would be PG-13 because there's a little blood in it. But it's a very clean, scary movie.
Rest in peace, Chrissy.
Yeah.
First victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a very clean.
Skinny dipping.
Yes. It is a very clean, scary movie.
I love you, HD, because you clarified that scene so much.
Oh, yeah. You're like, whoa.
Especially the underwater shot.
There were boobs in Jaws?
Yeah.
On that note, I guess that's Long's final thought on Jaws.
Yes.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. In fact, for
my favorite moment in the whole movie is when they all the three Quint, Hooper, and Brody were on the boat.
Yes.
And then it's just awesome how the boat, you know, it's sturdy, and you think they're going to get it, and then by the end of it, the boat sinks lower and lower and lower into the water.
I agree. The last 20 minutes of this film are
breathtaking
cinematic achievement of filmmaking.
Yeah.
The little scenes that Spielberg was able to get a lot out of. I mean, whenever they're trying to attach the rope to the barrel, come on, Hoopa, come on.
That's one of my favorite scenes. Yeah, the way the music is intercut with the editing on that as well.
The intensity of it.
Yeah. You're like, put the damn rope on the barrel, Hooper, damn it. Come on, man.
Don't wait on me. Yeah, I've watched this so many times.
Yeah, I agree with Long. That's my favorite scene. When
they were on the boat, it was just... Yeah. And also, of course, you mentioned earlier the monologue. Mm. Robert Shaw added more to the monologue. Yeah. He wrote, you know, part of it. And yeah, it was just chilling the way he retold the story of the USS Indianapolis. Mm. And he didn't really have to make anything up because that many people died during the survival ordeal. Scary.
Yep, that's all I got for Jaws. I agree with y'all, that's the best part. The last 20, I mean, the whole movie is good, but the last 20 minutes is
very epic,
top-notch, breathtaking filmmaking, as I've said.
Yeah, so epically solitary.
That's right. So if you haven't watched Jaws in a while, go watch Jaws on Netflix, and it's still really good. We are not stirring you wrong.
Heck no.
Or maybe we're stirring you into the water. Just when you thought it was safe.
Just when you thought it was safe.
All right. Ready to do some news?
I'm ready.
It's quite a bit, actually.
A lot.
We're going to start out, man. James Gunn got rehired by Marvel.
Oh, yes.
He's still going to make the Suicide Squad because I guess it's fixing to start filming in a few weeks.
Thank God. I was looking forward to seeing Polka Dot Man.
Yeah, so Polka Dot Man. I guess Suicide Squad starts shooting in June. So it's shooting really soon. So, and I guess they're going to start shooting Guardians in January or February. So we're not going to get it by next May, obviously, like we thought we were. But at least he's back, which it should have never been fired in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But
good will always triumph over evil.
Yeah, I think this is good news for movie fans because we all know that we wanted to see Gunn complete his trilogy. And we're also going to get a fucking Suicide Squad movie out of it, too, by James Gunn. So this is a good thing.
Yes. This is a two-for-one deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
I just hope he doesn't get burned out by the time he starts doing Galaxy.
And honestly, I just want to see his Guardians 3 because I want to see Adam Warlock on screen.
Hell
and we
yeah,
know
dude.
He was going that direction with it. And I was going to be disappointed if we didn't get Adam Warlock because the Marvel Universe needs Adam Warlock. He should have already been here now because in the original comics, he's supposed to help fight Thanos.
Yeah.
But we can accept that he'll come later.
Yeah, you know? I kind of – my roommate, he's also big into Adam Warlock, too.
Yeah.
But I told him, guys, you got to curb your enthusiasm. Adam Warlock has zero emotion. He's Spock,
right?
Basically, or Data, you know. So he has zero emotion. I don't think you'll get some kind of, you know.
This will be cool.
Yeah.
To me, it's just cool to see all this stuff on screen come to life.
Dude.
And it's like the little tribute at the beginning of Captain Marvel to Stan just kind of reminded me of that. Like, man, without that guy, we didn't have all the stuff we're seeing on screen. So to me, just keep bringing it to me. Just, I'll bathe in it, you know? That's all.
Bathe in it.
Yep. We welcome you back, James Gunn.
Yep. And
Sean Gunn, his brother.
Yeah, yes. He always cameos in all his films.
Yeah.
So, a lot of Marvel news. We got a new Endgame trailer. It kind of dropped a couple mornings ago. Everyone thought it was going to drop last week in front of Captain Marvel. When I saw my screening today, they did not show the new trailer. I got the Spider-Man trailer, but not the Avengers trailer. You know what? I'm going to go a little X-rated on this, but Marvel with this film, it's like a stripper, man. To get your fucking dick hard and then nothing. They're just teasing the shit out of us because they know we're going to have our asses in the theaters the weekend of April 27th.
Yeah.
Who isn't sold on this already?
It's a terrible trailer that they released, you know, because
it doesn't show you shit.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, no, I am too.
You know, and really Disney and Warner Brothers are the two best movie studios when it comes to cutting movie trailers. You know, and honestly, they're doing it right, you know. You know, so they're not spoiling anything, unlike Terminator Genesis.
Yes, unlike Terminator Genesis.
Yeah.
You have the whole synopsis of the movie. And
and the big twist. And spoiled by the trailer.
Well, was it Warner Brothers that released Castaway that when they released that trailer, they took so much flack for showing that Tom Hanks got off the island that they changed the way they marketed their trailers after Castaway?
Really?
Yeah, because people were so pissed that they showed him getting off the island in the trailer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're right. But there's just what else can be said about Endgame that hasn't been said? We're all going to be there to see it.
It's only 4 weeks away.
The only legitimate leak that I've seen is from Frank Grillo going on and saying that he has a part in this movie. So Crossbones is coming back just for this film. But he was supposed to come back after Civil War, but he said that he felt like he didn't want to do it.
It was a pretty definitive death, I feel.
Yeah.
Blown up.
Yeah.
He told them that this was he didn't want any more appearances after Civil War because I guess he felt like the character was a dead end. He said any character is a dead end unless you're Iron Man or Captain America, and that's how he felt. Felt if you're a villain, then you're going, you know, it's a dead end.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Well, apparently Brie Larson has a 7-picture deal with Marvel.
I saw that.
And we know of two of them already.
Marvel, you know, Captain America and Iron Man were the linchpins for Phase 1 through 3.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel and I think Black Panther.
Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange are going to be the next anchors for the new Avengers team. So.
I'm looking
forward to Doctor Strange too.
We'll stick with Marvel for a minute. You know, Disney Plus, it's coming. We all know it's coming. Everyone's waiting for the Disney Plus streaming service. And I guess it kind of leaked out that they might be working on a What If animated series.
I'm looking forward to that.
This is a cool idea, man. You know, the What If comics were very popular in the 80s. Matt, you're probably too young for that.
Yeah.
But
90s.
And they were in the 90s. Yeah, I remember reading some of the stories and thought that they were really cool. I think this is a really cool idea to do an animated series of this to get stories that you may never have gotten before.
Yeah, what if Gwen Stacy survived the fall?
What if the Punisher was a good guy or didn't kill people? I think there was one like that. And all kinds of different things. And this is a really cool idea. And this is what I've always wanted Disney to do with the Star Wars license. I always wanted them to animate like Dark Empire in these comics. And they have all this at their hands. And maybe doing something like What If Marvel Animated could be the linchpin to get to that point. Maybe Disney will start realizing their animation studios and can do more stuff with the properties they have, you know?
Yep.
And so it hasn't been officially confirmed, but, you know, it leaked out as far as a Hollywood Reporter, so I think it's probably happening. They're working on it.
Yeah, they're pretty reputable.
And let's switch a little bit to DC, man. Batman vs. Ninja Turtles. Y'all see that trailer?
Yes.
It's based on the comic of the same name. It actually looked pretty cool.
I liked it.
Man, Batman was such a Mary Sue. Because he was beating up the Turtles, and he was beating up Shredder. Like, they showed it. It's like, come on. It's like, I guess no one could beat Batman.
But it looks like a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I am intrigued by it still.
Yeah. And it's Troy. It's not Kevin Conroy doing the voice. It's Troy Baker who did
really?
The voice.
He sounded like...
Baker sounds a lot like Conroy, and he did it in...
Wow.
The Batman Brave and the Bold.
Really?
Baker, so... Yeah. And so it looks pretty cool. Man, I'm down. It must be coming soon if we got a trailer out for it already. So, you know, Batman versus Ninja Turtles. So I guess DC has pretty much confirmed that their movies are going to be kind of individual for a while. Wonder Woman 84 is apparently not a sequel. It is a standalone adventure. So Ezra Miller is basically about ready to quit The Flash, but he's going to try to rewrite the movie himself with the help of Grant Morrison. Now, I'm curious about this because Grant Morrison is like Alan Moore. He hardly comes out of his cave in England to do anything. So is Ezra Miller telling the truth? Did he really convince Grant Morrison to write a script for him for The Flash? But at this point, if you're just now going back to rewriting the script for The Flash, and here we are in March 2019, by the time you write the script, start pre-production, get it ready, are we ever going to see an Ezra Miller Flash movie? Let's be real. I think at this point it may not happen.
You know, I didn't want to see Aquaman until I saw Aquaman.
Right.
I'm like, wow, this is actually a pretty fun movie. Right. So who knows?
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem with Ezra Miller in Justice League, his version of The Flash. I thought he was okay. I know a lot of people compare – everyone wants to compare him to the TV show, but you can't compare him to Grant Gustin.
The one movie I have zero desire to watch as far as DC movies is Cyborg.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No one cares about
Cyborg. Yeah, I'm the same way. I do like the character of The Flash. I think he's an interesting character. Yeah. Ezra Miller actually played The Flash more like he is in the comics, kind of awkward and socially not adjusted, where Grant Gustin's Flash on TV is not that. He's more typical CW, you know, falls in love with everybody kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So Ezra Miller's Flash actually was pretty close to who Wally West is in the comics. So I wouldn't mind seeing a movie with him. I think he's a cool character.
Isn't he Barry Allen?
Or Barry Allen. I don't know why I said Wally West. Yeah Barry Allen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, maybe we'll get the Flash movie eventually. Or maybe we'll just get more Batman movies.
No one knows.
I still want Man of Steel, too, goddammit.
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey.
It's right now. They saw some Twitter leaks of Ewan McGregor being chased down by Harley Quinn.
I keep forgetting he's in that movie.
Yeah. Yes. He's playing Black Mask.
Because I love Ewan.
Yeah.
You know, he's good. Well, I only got one bit left. You know, we've had some alien news lately. You see they're going to have these short films they're going to release at Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah.
There's like seven or eight of them.
Six.
For the 40th anniversary.
Six short films based on the Alien franchise.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Coming out on IGN.com.
That's where they're going to be out? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'm glad you knew that because I didn't know where they were going to release them to. So, and I imagine Emerald City Comic Con, I think, is next weekend or the weekend after. So these should be hitting in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So look for that. I'll tweet them out or something on our Twitter account, Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter.
And we mentioned last week Cobra Kai season 2, April 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right.
We did talk about that.
Yeah.
But that's all the news I had written down, unless you guys know of any more news.
No?
None here.
You covered all the ones that I know of.
Yeah. It was kind of a big week. Yeah. Kind of.
I'm like you. I'd stay on top of pop culture stuff too.
Yeah.
So if you missed anything.
What does Matt bring to the show here? What does he do?
React.
Quotes. Impersonations.
React.
Yeah.
Casual reaction.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
He's the voice of the casuals.
Yeah, the voice of the casuals.
You're like filthy Frank.
No. I'd have to change.
I'm just kidding.
I have to be like, you know.
WrestleMania is in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
That scene was good. That's like the only scene he watched in the movie.
Yeah. That scene was good.
What did you think about it? It was good. Next question.
Oh, poor Frank.
And then I'd have to talk obnoxiously loud into the microphone to where it'd be hard to edit.
He did. He used to always sit like right here. And I'm like, dude, why are you so close to the mic? It'll pick you up. Yeah. But anyway, can't dog our boy Frank.
Yeah, yeah. It's all fun banter. It was good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
We might invite him for 150 since it's a milestone episode. Maybe we'll let him come hang out. We'll
yes.
see. We'll see. We'll think about that.
Yeah. Small doses. Small doses.
That means I could take that night off?
No.
Dang it. No.
You don't get out of this that easy, man. But all right, well, let's preview next week's show. We kind of had an underlying theme in the month of March of, like, epic films. And we did Braveheart and Princess Mononoke and Jaws. Not intentionally, but
yeah.
We're kind of staying with that theme. And we're going to do another history-style film. We're going to talk a real favorite of mine. This is one of those movies that anytime it's on TV, I will stop at that channel and I'll watch it. And it is The Last of the Mohicans.
It's not as I imagined it would be, thinking of it in Boston.
The frontier is the only land available to people. Out here, they're beholden to none.
As a new land was being carved out of an untamed frontier.
Just dropped in to see how you boys is doing.
One man, defiantly courageous, stood his ground.
I called all our colonial scouts. What in the militia?
I ain't your scout. You sure ain't no damn militia.
One woman, fiercely independent, followed her spirit.
My father warned me about people like you. He said, do not try to understand them. Do not try to make them understand you.
Thank you so much.
They shared an adventure.
It was a war party. That means they're going to be attacking up and down the frontier.
That took them from the edge of the wilderness.
He saved us. We're alive only because of him. Are those the actions of a criminal?
And into each other's hearts.
Why didn't you leave when you had the chance?
Because what I'm interested in is right here.
You've done everything you can do. Save yourself!
Stay alive, no matter what occurs. I will find you. No matter how long it takes, no matter how far. I will find you.
Academy Award winner Daniel Day-Lewis, Madeline Stowe, The Last of the Mohicans.
Long, I remember we were talking what movies we were picking a couple weeks ago. You weren't. Can't remember if you had seen this all the way through.
I've never watched it.
It's good. It's Michael Mann. You know, this is Michael Mann years before he made Heat or any of his
crime movies. I didn't know this was Michael Mann.
He directed this. It's a young Daniel Day-Lewis before he won Oscars. It's about a year or two before he won his first Oscar for My Left Foot.
Yeah.
A really good film, really well shot film. It's all shot in natural colors. So when you watch it, people
Natural lighting.
So when you watch the film, there's scenes that come out a little bit.
Because we've been watching black and white this whole time.
There's scenes that look a little darker than others, and people think that the film is bad. It's not the film is bad. That's how Michael Mann wanted it to look, you know. You've seen it, right, Matt? You know,
like bits and pieces.
Yeah, we'll have to have a movie night. Watch The Last Mohicans.
Hell yeah.
Because it's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, we can do that.
A fantastic score in this film, too. One of those that once you see it, you'll remember it. And some great scenes and just a good movie. So looking forward to talking The Last Mohicans on next week's episode of The Rebel Radio Podcast. See how I said that all dramatic?
All dramatic.
It was dramatic. It was very dramatic.
Very.
I'm not feeling y'all felt it was that dramatic. It's fine. I was riveted.
You're like Drax whenever, you know, he's like, if I move really slowly.
Or no, if I stand still.
Stand still. You can't track my movements.
Oh, excuse me. I felt like I was going to burp on the show.
You always. It's always like that towards the end. You're always like.
I know. I get like. I ate fried food. I probably should have done that. That's not good. But anyway. So as always, go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Man, we haven't sold a shirt in a while. Someone buy a shirt, make us feel better. I need to come up with some new designs for the new logo.
Well, no one knew.
Yeah.
Especially when we debuted on PodCoin.
I know, right? We haven't mentioned the shirts in a few weeks. You know, we're on all apps. iTunes, leave us a review. We're on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
PodCoin.
And now on the PodCoin app, where you can listen to the show and earn coin to buy yourself gift cards, or donate to charity, which is my preference.
Yeah.
You don't need Amazon gift cards. Donate the money to a good cause. But do whatever you want with it. I just appreciate if you listen to the show. So, right?
That's all.
Yes, did you just fart?
No, I did not fart. I thought it was your chair.
Okay. Blame the chair. As always, and follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod and Facebook at The Rebel Radio Podcast and Instagram at The Rebel Radio Podcast, where I promise there is no nude pictures.
Don't Please worry. Hit like and subscribe to your favorite podcasting app.
That's right.
Get those algorithms going.
Yes.
And we will read some reviews.
Yes.
We haven't done that yet.
We haven't had a review to read.
Oh,
a new one. I check iTunes at least once a week. No new reviews.
No new reviews?
No new reviews.
Please leave a review.
That's right.
Please to God.
We will read it on there.
We love you.
Yes. And we'll read it in sexy voices.
Please.
Yes.
Like in True Lies. Do it, Dawson. Do it slowly.
You no. Know,
the guy, the French.
He says,
we don't want to scare him off. Jeez. And on that note, as always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is LT Prime.
LT Prime.
Autobot leader. I don't know.
Hold on. Before you hit the stop. Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu to you ladies of Spain.
Yes!
For we set sail back to the harbors of Boston. And oh, forevermore we shall see you again.
Man, a renaissance man.
Thank you.
As always, thank you for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse. Snooch to the Nooch. Go there and do it.
This is Walter Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.